May the grace, mercy, and peace of God our Heavenly Father be with us this morning and forever. Amen. I'd like to read from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and beginning with verse 12 for a text today. We'll read from chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, and then skip down to verse 19 and read through to the end of the chapter, verse 30. And reading the words in Jesus' name. Now I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faithful of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now hear to be in me. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in writing these letters, has had to suffer a great deal. And even now, he was imprisoned and was held captive, if you will. This was his first imprisonment. He says in the verse 12, but I would that you would understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And what he's saying there is that these things that I am having to withstand at this time, these things that I am having to undergo, and not only these, but all of the things that he has had to undergo even before this, the trials, the tribulations, the sufferings that he had to go, they are for the furtherance of the gospel. Now that would seem strange when we would begin to think that how can we have, in the form of our own suffering, how could this help out God? He goes on to explain then in verse 13 and 14. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest, or became manifest in Christ, in all the palace, or throughout the whole Praetorian Guard, and in all other places, and to all the rest. The Praetorian Guard at that time happened to be the elite of the elite of the Roman army. And they were chosen to take care of the government, or to guard the government, if you will. The senators, even the emperor himself. These guys were pretty high up on the totem. And Paul is glorifying the fact that he, in his imprisonment, he is able to bring the gospel message even to them. Because had he not been imprisoned, they would never have heard about it. They would never have understood who Christ was. There is evidence that indeed there were many that began to believe because of his preaching. But he says that not only, or makes the comment that, and also to the rest. And the rest meaning those who are aside from that guard, or that group of guards. He was able to, that message was even spread even to the people that they were guarding, and to the people in the palace or in the temple or whatever it is that they called it at that time. And he says, many of the brethren, or most of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. Two thoughts on this particular verse. One is that those who lived and those who were in the palace or in the temple or the area where they were living, they were able to talk about these things. They were able to talk about Christ. They were able to talk about salvation because there was one here that was spreading the message. And not only were they there, but the people who were actually guarding them were also spreading that message. And they were also being a part of the phone line, if you will, to use your current term. But the point is that they could do that without fear of being reported. They could do that without fear of being taken into custody, if you will, for preaching God's word. God uses all these different types of things in order to spread his gospel. He is not just limited to one tiny little spot or one tiny little way. He uses everything, things that we would never even imagine. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That these prayers that you are offering up for me, these things that are being done on my behalf that you are doing, and not only you, but those who he has spoken to when he was imprisoned, they will contribute to his release. They will contribute to his release from the custody that he is in at that particular time. There are some that's thinking that he is, that because of what he speaks of later on, he's talking too about maybe he will be released from this life. But that remains to be seen. And he goes on and he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, and that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Isn't that something that we should try to grasp a hold of ourselves? That praying for one another, being concerned about one another's welfare, being concerned about those who are around us, and not only being concerned, but if the opportunity arises to do something about it. This is how that we as Christians need to live. The Apostle Paul is saying that, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, and that with boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified. Magnified how? Magnified in the way that he is living. Magnified in the way that we are living. That Christ should be evident in our lives. And he goes on, so whether it be by life or by death, either way, whether it is by the life that I'm living now or the death that I will one day have to withstand, Christ would be magnified. History says that Paul was beheaded after his second imprisonment. And it sounds as though that Peter was crucified about the same time. But the point was that they went to their death glorifying God. And that in amongst a very unrighteous and a very evil and wicked time. Then he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Only a person who knows who Christ is and knows what Christ has done for them could feel this way. Because the world never will understand it. And then he goes on and he says, but if I live in the flesh and there is fruit of my labor, yet what shall I choose? I know not. He's not saying that I don't know which one I would choose. That's not what he's saying at all. What he's saying is that I don't know what God has in store for me. I don't know if God is going to want me to live or if God is going to want me to die in the next while. But what he's also saying is that it doesn't matter, because I will glorify my Lord and my Savior. And that is how he felt, and that's the way we need to feel. He says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That may sound like a selfish statement, but what true Christian, what true believing Christian can look and say, no, I want to stay here? I don't think that would happen. And then in verse 24, he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for your sake. For him to stay. Now keep in mind, the church in Philippi was probably one of the strongest churches, if you will. It was one of the churches that adhered to God's word and was not led astray by false teaching as easily as others. It's not to say that they weren't, but it seems as though it was of a stronger nature, and that Christ was more prevalent in their lives. At least that's the historical account of it anyway. It seems to be that way. But yet he still says that, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And for him to abide with them is a furtherance of being able to instruct and to encourage and to encourage them to continue in that life that they have come to believe. But not only the church, but those who we had spoken of in the first part of our text, to the guards and to the people of government and to people of importance or people of in high office. There is no office higher than God, but I'm speaking in a physical sense here. Those who were high up, they were coming to know who Christ was. And he is saying, it's probably better for me to stay here to be with you at this particular time. Because he knew that, as we all do, that when we first come into faith, that is Satan's ground to try to draw us away and keep us. And he knew that. Paul knew of that, I'm sure. And he knew that there had to be someone there. The Holy Spirit can come, the Holy Spirit can encourage. But new Christians are those who will begin to have doubts. Not that old ones don't. But the point is that they would try to be encouraged to leave the faith. Then he says, in having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. The text says, for your furtherance. But what he's saying is for your progress. As you progress in the faith, and come to know more and more who Christ is and what he has done for you, come to know more and more God's salvation for you and his plan, to be able to encourage you in that. To be able to encourage you in that faith. So that you can continue on with a strength that only God can give. He recognizes that and understands it. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. That you would be rejoicing more by my deliverance or that you would be rejoicing more by me being set free. And you would rejoice in Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation or let your manner of life be as it becometh, or be worthy of the gospel of Christ. He used this same message over and over and over again in his books and in his letters. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel that you confess. That's something that is so vitally important to a Christian today. That your life that you lead is recognized as being different than what the world would portray. That it is recognized as being something out of the norm. That it would be recognized as being true and being whole and being worthy of God. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs or hear of your state, the condition that you're in, that ye stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Isn't that a wonderful message to hear for Christians of other places? We hear in our, even today, there are a lot of the churches, the Federation churches here around town, I mean around the country. And it's always so enjoyable to be able to hear that is a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, God-fearing church. Unfortunately, there are times where things get told that are not so favorable. And my feeling on that is, I don't need to hear that. I don't need to know about those kind of things. What I need to know about is, how are they believing and how are they getting along? What I need to know is that there may be an issue, but yet I can continue to pray for them and that issue would subside. But human beings, being what they are, like to spread dirt. It's a simple fact. Oh, that would stop. I have had a couple of times where, not necessarily about a church, but having heard, in one particular case, I heard a Christian brother speak. And his message for me was one of encouragement, and it was a message of love and compassion, and it was a message for strengthening. And I happened to mention that to somebody, and the very first comment is that I don't think that he should be speaking because of his past sins. I didn't need to know that. I did not need to know that. Because what that did was took from what he had given me, and my human mind began to think that, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't have listened, or it ended up being bad anyway, no matter what. I did not need to hear that. But yet, human nature being what it is, and it wasn't said in a way that was being mean or nasty or anything in that order. It wasn't said that way at all. It was just stating a simple fact. I didn't need to hear it. I just did not need to hear it, because of the message that I had received from him was one that encouraged me. And now, because of that comment, wasn't quite as good as it had been. We need to be careful about those kind of things. We need to be careful and not be so ready to talk about the dirt that someone else happens to have been living in. The old expression, "there but for the grace of God go I," should be one that we should remember in our lives at all times. Scripture says that you worry about the little tiny sliver that's in your brother's eye, and you got a big old beam in yours. That's not the way that we as Christians should operate. And that we would be encouraging and loving and compassionate to all those, especially those who have fallen into sin. Because they are the ones that need the compassion the most. Because Satan is sitting on their shoulder, convincing them that they are not worthy to be even called a Christian. And if that were to continue, they could definitely walk away. And if we are the ones that would stand there and spread the dirt that we know about, it would only encourage them to walk. We don't need to hear those types of things. And they need to be kept out of the church. And they need to be kept away. Some would argue, but we need the information. That may be so. But keep that information amongst yourselves in a private matter or a private conversation. It does not need to be spread. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of your salvation, and that from God. Don't worry about your adversaries and about the things that they are spreading around about you. Because the same as what the Apostle Paul talked about in verses 12 through 14. All of these things, and actually it continues on, 15 through 18, talks about this. That those who would speak ill of you, and those who would tell lies about you, if your life is evidence of who you believe in, what that's going to do is that will be turned around, and God will be able to use that, wait a minute, maybe these people really are living a different life than I am. Because there's a lot of folks out there that are talking bad about them. And if you're living your life worthy of God, there's a lot of people who won't believe it. There's a lot of people that will not believe that story that's being told. Simply because they know you and they know how you live. And it's too contrary and it's too opposite of what they know and have witnessed and have seen. He says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." This isn't going to be a free ride. This isn't going to be a grand and glorious slide into heaven. Well, I guess it will be when the time comes. But we're going to have to go through some tough times. Maybe not as tough as what Paul was going to have to go through, or Peter, or what other believers and what other Christians have had to go through. We don't know. But he's telling us that we're going to have to suffer for his sake because of what we believe. And that may happen down the road. But be encouraged, because God does give the strength to endure and to continue on. And that's why in the first book of James it talks about that, how when we receive the trials and temptations that we're going to go through, gives us a more perfect faith. We're able to withstand the suffering. We're able to withstand the things that Satan is throwing in our way, because we have seen how God has delivered us before. And we take encouragement in that. And we know that even though we happen to go through this, there's a much better reward awaiting us than what anyone else could ever have who don't believe in him. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Those believers saw what he had to go through the trials and through the things that he had to deal with. And if they didn't see it personally, they certainly heard of it. Of him being shipwrecked and all of the things that he had to suffer. they knew about that, and they also hear about it in the fact that he is imprisoned. They heard about it. They know that that's not going to be a pleasant time, although for Paul it's said that his first imprisonment was not terrible or as bad as it could have been. The second one was. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. He's telling the church that you're going to have the same thing. And it's not going to be easy. And the same thing is going to happen to us, and it's not going to be easy. But thanks be to our Heavenly Father. Thanks be to our Savior, Jesus Christ, because He will stand before us and keep us from having to suffer too greatly. And the Holy Spirit will be within us and encouraging us and helping us along to withstand. And that one day we would be with Him and He would be revealed in us, or through us and to us. And that one day we would be with Him forever. And all of those things that we went through, all of those things that we had to withstand, regardless how great or small, will never be remembered again. Scripture tells us there will be no crying, there will be no sadness, there will only be joy. The sad things will not be remembered, because we will be in the presence of our God. In His name, amen. Heavenly Father, now we ask that You would bless us and keep us, that You would make Your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that You would lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.